TOPLESSROBOT.com presents...
You're listening to Animated Opinions, the only podcast from an alternate offshoot universe where this film is released in America. I'm your host, Melanie.
I think I might be Emily, but in this parallel universe, I'm not sure.
Who really knows? And today, we have a movie for you that we're not sure how we got a hold of, because I don't think it was released in America. It's called Charming. You've never heard of it. Avril Lavigne is in it. So is Demi Lovato.
To be fair, it has not come out in the United States, and we're not sure it ever will.
Yeah, so we may be reviewing a very lost piece of media here. We're actually making a red string board as we speak, live on the air, of what we think has happened to this movie. Emily, do you want to update the listeners on what you found?
Okay, so Charming had a trailer released on YouTube, from what I can find, starting a year ago, and it was slated to come out in 2018, which it did. In Spain. Spain was the first place that this movie was released, and that was on April 20th of 2018. Now, here's where it gets a little bit weird, because I had looked up a little bit more of, you know, background production information, and who fucking remembers Vanguard Animation, the same people who brought us Space Chimps and Space Chimps 2?
Space Chimps!
I was kind of hoping when I saw their logo that, like, the years had aged this company much like a fine wine, and that they could only go up from there. But I was very, very wrong. Vanguard sourced the animation to Cinesite, which Cinesite, I am familiar with them as a visual effects company. What I did not know is that in 2016, Cinesite Animation was launched so that they could make family-orientated films. And they announced in September of 2015, before Cinesite Animation was even launched, that they had secured a deal with the production company 3QU Media. I would say 3QU, right? Not 3Q.
Yeah, I think 3QU is right.
It's 3 capital Q, capital U. We're saying 3QU. We're going for it. And so 3QU and Cinesite Animation are developing 9 animated features that they were going to announce sometime in the near future, allegedly 2020. So that was back 4 years ago. We have Charming. It does appear that they made films prior to Charming, but I didn't dig that much into it because it didn't hold my interest and I had started drinking because that's my life. So... doubling back, this was animated in Canada. Okay, cool. It appears to be a Spanish film animated in French Canada, aka Montreal, and then just kind of yeeted out into the world. And the voice actors, from what I can tell, are a mix of Canadian and American.
Yeah.
Right? And English. Yes. And English. John Cleese lives in California. He lives in Santa Barbara, I think. One of the Pine Mountains. That's fine. So we dug a little bit more into this movie because we're like, did it get released in America? Because it's English language. Actually, you want to know? Okay, so we're going to hate on the mouth flaps and the lip sync a little bit later and consistently throughout this. But it would make a lot more sense if this movie had come out like a couple years ago rather than a year ago.
Yeah.
And the English language dub is just now getting released. But that is not the case.
So I figured it out.
Global Media. What?
So 3QU also made Gnome Alone, a film that recently released to Netflix.
Yes, they dumped that on Netflix, and that was also done by Cinesite. Excuse me.
So I think what's happening is that they couldn't find a home for Charming due to who knows what in the U.S. I don't know, maybe there was some kind of licensing deal that they made that hasn't expired yet, or maybe they lost their distributor, but they can't resell it for a few years?
No, no, they're just, their distributor, they, like, founded the distributor.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, it's a brand new distribution company called Smith Global Media.
Man, why wouldn't they just dump this somewhere? Not dump, but unceremoniously release.
The only thing that I could think is that maybe due to the content of the movie, they couldn't release it on Netflix due to Disney owning part of it.
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing that Charming does that is distinctly Disney. It specifically does the,
they definitely have domain. Like three. Well, they do the public domain, but there are Disney characters parodied in this movie. Like they show up, Ariel shows up, Belle shows up. Did you not see them?
I did. They were in, the opening song, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Ariel was in the opening song and Belle was in an establishing shot. And it was very clearly those characters.
No, I mean, they were very clearly parody. They weren't one-to-one.
No, 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 no. Hold on.
Oh, hold on. You're getting the live argument about this movie because I think we would have spent an hour talking about it before we got to the actual film.
Okay, I'm sending you a screen cap. This is literally Belle, and you cannot make any other argument that it is not.
It's upward. Easy to trim a scene, especially... That one's really easy to just cut, though.
Well, yeah, but you're not going to recut a movie just for this. This isn't the Weinstein Company.
That's fair.
Fuck you, Harvey Weinstein. I'll fucking fight him.
I think a lot of people would like to fight Harvey Weinstein.
Get in line. I'm in line.
That's fair.
I'm scrolling through the YouTube comments now because I did like a quick YouTube dive to figure out what the fuck was going on with this movie. Because we started talking about it and we're like, did we imagine this? Like, we definitely thought it had come out. And people are just like, the animation looks so cheap for being 2018. And that's very true. This is like Shrek 2 from producers who saw Shrek. This movie wanted to be Shrek.
It wanted to be Shrek, but a little sweeter. Like, put just a little bit of sugar on Shrek.
Are you implying that Shrek is not candy-coated nightmares?
I'm implying that Shrek is a little raunchier and a little more like, let's make the grown-ups laugh, too. Whereas I don't feel that Charming has enough of that. It tries it in the beginning, and then it kind of gives up.
I guess that's fair. Yeah, I would say that's a decent assessment.
Also, I feel like Shrek kind of curves you with the sweet message out of nowhere at the end of, like, you should just accept yourself. She's an ogre, I guess. She's cursed forever, but also happier this way. Who knows? Whereas Charming was very straightforward about, like, they're going to fall in love. It's going to be true love. Who knows what love feels like? Love, love, love.
Sorry, real quick, I looked up Smith Global Media, who is the production company that was, like, basically founded for this. Their earliest credit seems to be 2016. And they are still producing movies. I just kind of clicked on them randomly. Welcome to the deep dive, everybody. They have an upcoming film in post-production. Apparently it's a sci-fi drama called Entangled, and Marlee Matlin is in it, so I'm actually kind of excited about that. She is a deaf actress. I went to school somewhere where there were a lot of deaf people. Yeah, this movie exists. Charming exists. I really have nothing else to dig into, because CineSite Animation hasn't done enough movie. Okay, here's what I want to say. Gnome Alone looked fine.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened to Charming? Was this like their C crew? Like, not even the B team? We couldn't get the B team? They were busy working on something else?
Charming was made on like $5 and did not get enough love in terms of facial animation or lip sync or anything except the Amazon women, which I think someone had a very large crush on.
The character design for one sequence in this movie was great.
Yeah.
That is all I can say about that. The rest of it was trash. The character designs were boring. The most impressive part of this movie was the James Bond opening sequence that they just randomly dropped in there.
Yeah. Well, the least impressive part of this movie was that they didn't know how to design clothing at all. Like, no. None of the clothing was coherent or matched.
I don't know if it's that they didn't know how to design clothing. What they wanted. I cannot speak to any absolutes here. What I think they wanted was for everything to look updated and modern, which is fine. That's totally fine. But then they realized that they did not have the ability to animate the clothing that they wanted. So they had to pare it down. Like, this is if you had, like, no tech anim or no CFX team. And it was just like, we have to do the out-of-the-box Maya bullshit.
Yeah. Well, the weirdest part was that it wasn't coherently modern either. The peasants all wore, like, regular-ish peasant garb. And then all the princesses and main characters had more updated and modern outfits, especially the dresses, which was so confusing. Well, they're rich. Yeah, I don't know. This is a weird complaint, but it bothered me the whole film.
I do agree with it. I really hated Lenore's Lenny outfit.
I liked it because it was stupid.
She basically looked like shitty mustached Robin Hood. There's a character in this named Lenore. I really think we should start explaining to people what the fuck is going on.
Okay, let's launch into it. It's time to talk about Charming.
Yes.
Here we go. Prince Philippe Charming is a prince. Shocker.
Felipe.
Felipe, whatever.
They never call him that. They do, frequently. His name is Felipe.
Felipe.
But I literally refer to him as Charming, like, over and over and over.
Prince Felipe Charming is a prince who was cursed nearly 21 years ago by his father's former partner, Nemini Neverwish. Jealous because he wouldn't marry her, Nemini has placed a curse on the young Charming. With an overdose of Charming magic powder, Prince Charming has the ability to instantly bewitch every woman in the land. At least until his 21st birthday, when all the love in the world will disappear. The magic logic on that doesn't line up. Apologies for breaking the summary for 90 seconds, but what the fuck?
Anyway. Yeah, okay, so this isn't even a curse. First of all, let's just address that. I'm going to put a line break there so that we can come back to it. This, apparently, when a noble person is born in the land, there's like a little fucking fairy that comes and is like a blessing fairy or whatever. It's basically a little fat mail delivery fairy. And he's got this powder and he's just like, this tiny fairy is just like, oh, look at this prince. He's very handsome or whatever. Here is his like dose of charm, and it's just like, you're gonna be a charming person. But instead of like a little sprinkle of fairy dust, Nemini fucking Neverwish like slits open the wish powder bag, and like the baby is like drowned in wish pollen. And so he's overly, so instead of just being like a charming young man, he is like overly charming. If he makes eye contact with a woman, they immediately fall in love with him.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. Wait, whoa. Yes. But now I'm thinking, like, you know how Elsa's parents in Frozen just like locked her away in a tower?
Yeah.
That's what they should have done to Charming.
Yeah, I don't know why they let him.
Hold on. I can instantly make Charming better for everybody involved. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Charming is locked away.
Yes.
He learns the details of his curse.
Yeah.
Like, he is aware of it. He's like, he knows why he has to be locked up, much like Rapunzel, kind of accepting the fact that she needs to be locked away. But then he discovers on, like, at the very end, like, oh, if I turn 21 and I don't find true love or whatever, it will, like, take away all the love in the land. So this, still the same plot. Okay? We're still kind of the same. And then, in order to save his people and prevent them from never feeling love again, he escapes and goes on this quest. And we can have the same quest with the same characters. And we can incorporate the princesses, but not in that, like, weird backdrop way that they're introduced to us.
Yeah, like he saves them along the way.
Yeah, he saves them along the way.
And then they can become active characters.
Yeah, somebody get me in contact with Vanguard Media. Like, they need me.
We'll just redo this movie from top to bottom.
Yeah, I think we could recut Charming to make it a better movie. All right, so we've essentially given you Charming is very charming if he makes eye contact with a woman they fall in love. The only way for him to break the spell is if he finds true love. That's fine. With his 21st birthday nearing, Charming has proposed to not one, but three bachelorettes. And here is where we dig into ye olden, what is it? Not open media.
Public domain.
Open media. Here's where we dig into the public domain. We have Cinderella, Snow White, and Sleeping Beauty. They don't know that they are all engaged to the same man. And growing tired of his flippancy, Charming's father, who is the king, I believe his name is King Charming. King Charming kicks him out of the house to go on a quest known as the Gauntlet. And along the way, true love begins to blossom. Patrick fucking Stump from Fallout Boy wrote the, like, basically the opening song for this movie, and they wanted to lean really heavily on it.
So he wrote that song?
Uh-huh.
Man, it was bad. I didn't realize this was a musical, or at least I didn't remember, and it kicked in and was just awful.
To be fair, that is the one song I remember from this movie.
I don't remember any of the songs. They all went out of my head immediately.
Okay, so there was here's a rundown of the songs in this movie, and this will not be comprehensive. There is Patrick Stump, Demi Lovato, Merida, something else.
You really James Bond. It.
James Bond opening title sequence. Another Demi Lovato song. Song about Demi Lovato and true love. And an ending song. And then we replay the Patrick Stump song over the credits, which I did watch.
Can we get this out of the way now? I don't think Demi Lovato is a good singer.
I don't know any of her other music aside from this movie. And my biggest complaint is that her voice and her music was not suited to this movie. I cannot speak to her as a performer otherwise.
Uh-huh.
So, I didn't like her in this.
Yeah.
No offense, Demi.
No,
Demi, who
I didn't.
Clearly listens to our podcast.
At Demi Lovato, you listen to this podcast, you come talk to me. We'll get you on here.
Oh my god. We're gonna make her watch Charming.
Dude, if Demi Lovato likes animated movies, she can hang. That's all I really need out of a friend.
That's fair. All you have to do is like animated music.
Yeah.
I did appreciate in that Patrick Stump song, which is called Trophy Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right. I appreciate that actual singers were cast. And it was super duper, super bland pop music. Like, you've got Avril Lavigne, Jem, and Ashley Teasdale.
Yep.
As the people singing. So, yeah, it's gonna be boring pop music. But I didn't hate the lyrics, weirdly enough.
Yeah,
it's hard to explain.
No, I like the fact that it played with the objectification of men rather than women.
Yes.
I really did like the fact that he was the person that was being objectified by every woman and that the attractiveness of the women did not come into play.
No, that was nice. Kristen Chenoweth, we need her.
It's true.
She would have made this movie so much better.
Oh my God. I also really liked the fact that the opening song had staging as though it were an actual musical. That I thought was really interesting.
Oh yeah. The king is really hot. I thought he was hot.
The king was not hot, but okay. Also, the king comes in and just exposits everything.
Yeah, he really does. Jim Cummings is just kind of phoning this one in. You can probably hear the LA sirens in the back.
Yeah, because, it's really loud.
Yeah, because I live in the fucking hood.
Okay, Emily.
Anyway, so the king exposits, and this is where every time they said Nemini Neverwish, all I could think of was Nemini Darkness Dementia Raven Way is way too gothic for your bullshit love. Like, anytime Nemini showed up.
Dude, that's true. She was super goth. Also, my note on this, so this is like if Sony had significantly less money to make a movie.
Incorrect. This is like if Illumination's budget wasn't $60 million, but was $6 million.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like this is less likable, though, than Illumination stuff. Like, it's not...
it's not made to sell toys.
Yeah.
So it's not... now it's like, oh. Your dog is mooing pathetically outside your door. Yeah, I'm aware.
Oh, no.
I can't hear her.
So, Wilmer Valderrama plays Prince Charming, and he is really voice acting. He's not doing a great job.
No. No one's doing a good job.
No. Everyone sucks. Everything's terrible. Let's move in.
I'm sorry. See ya. Oh, God.
Jesus, Emily.
I'm really... this movie was exhausting. Demi Lovato was the executive producer for the soundtrack. Sia is Australian. And Steve Aoki was responsible as well. Actually, real quick. The film was postponed for an undisclosed amount of time from 2017 to spring 2018, despite the filming, recording, and production having completed in December 2017. Vanguard never announced a release date, but it was released on April 20th, 2018 in Spain, and then throughout the year in Europe and Africa.
So something happened.
Hmm.
But
yeah.
What?
I am not sure.
Cue the serial theme.
Oh, I was going to X-Files it up.
Oh, that also will work. I just figured since we're a podcast, you know, you got to keep with the medium.
The cumulative worldwide gross for this movie is just $6.5 million.
Wow.
I went to look up the budget, which is why I was silent for a little bit.
So, Lenore is a jewel thief who has also been cursed by Nemini Neverwish, only her curse is her incapability to love. To avoid the royal guards, after doing a thief, she hides in a bakery while Charming's fiancés walk in, posing as a baker and stealing all their possessions. She breaks the bad news that they are all engaged to the same man, Prince Charming, which causes scandal throughout the kingdom. Lenore is arrested and bribed by the princess's three guardians to run the gauntlet with Charming to a place called Fire Mountain. She agrees, just in exchange for their riches. To avoid any more run-ins with the royal guards, and knowing how Charming reacts in front of women, she poses as a man named Lenny.
So, I have multiple questions here. Because, first of all, I did not know that Lenore was cursed by Nemini Neverwish until the very end of the movie.
She like does a thing on screen that you can see is her checking on the status of Lenore's curse, and you're like, oh, okay, I guess.
Right, but I just thought she was checking on Lenore much like Eris. Okay, Nemini Neverwish is basically just a ripoff of Eris from DreamWorks' Sinbad.
Oh, 100%.
And Yeah, so you know how Eris, like, has her monsters and she can check on, you know, Sinbad, and she can check on Marina and Proteus, but they're not necessarily cursed by her? That's kind of what I thought was going on. So she was just keeping tabs on the person that was with Charming. So I was totally, I was like, oh, look, Lenore, like, it just did not process. Cardinals are my favorite bird.
Tweet.
Lenny, sorry, Lenore. Let's just call her Lenny. It's so much easier. Lenny has a bird named Illy. Don't know why. And a horse named Charlie.
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie horse.
Also, Lenny has gigantic boobs. Like, no other character in the movie has such huge boobs.
They don't even look like boobs, though. It just looks like her torso is a triangle.
Oh, yeah. Her boobs are just, like, one oval hard modeled onto her.
Yeah, it's pretty much just a modeling disaster.
She sings a song, and her song is her yelling that she won't fall in love.
Is that what she's singing? I thought it was, like, I'm free to be who I want to be, and it's just Merida.
No, it was, I'm never going to fall in love. I don't love anybody. I don't love anyone. This is my character flaw. The song.
I don't know if it's a character flaw. Do people not know how horses look? Like, ever?
No.
Yeah, and also she, like, hops on the horse that she has attached to the cart. Like, first of all, why would you do that? Just take the horse. You don't need the cart. Also, why does the bird get a cut of the jewels?
What's a bird going to do with jewels? Who knows?
Yeah, and shout out, once again, shout out to all the Disney illusions with all the princesses.
As I put it, this movie is doogling right now.
Yeah, it super fucking was.
It's just fucking doogling all over the place. I don't know what I thought was some good shit, but apparently I thought something was some good shit.
You said this is some good shit. I think what you were referring to was Lenny and Charming bump into each other. And he is, like, basically pouring his life story. And he was just like, yes, which of my three fiancés will I marry? And she's like, what?
Oh, yeah. And she just is like, you have issues, and walks away.
Yeah, I think that was what you were just like, this is some good shit.
Yeah, that made me genuinely happy that she was not having it.
No, she was super duper not into it. Wait, that's my other question. So, knowing how Charming reacts to women. First of all, I think this is unfair to Charming. He is not necessarily out to seduce all the women. He kind of just, like, works his way through the... Anytime he's, like, out and about, it's just, like, something that happens. And I don't necessarily think he acts or reacts any differently in front of them.
Yeah.
But that's why I think it would have been... But, like, also, if... I mean, it works because Lenny doesn't... I guess she's fucking cursed by Nemini fucking Neverwish or whatever. I did not know that. Hmm. I was just like, oh, it doesn't work on her because they are fated to be together. Got it. This plot works. Nope, that would have just been clever. But
yeah, you
wouldn't
think
it have
that.
Had the same effect if she's just a woman disguised as a man? Or does it not work on you know, trans people? Like, does that not work? I know this is like a cross-dressing disguise, but now I'm thinking a little like higher.
Oh, no, she's cross-dressing so he doesn't get all goobly-mouthed around her.
Okay. But, like, how would that work with characters that aren't
It wouldn't.
Explicitly
she wasn't,
women?
So she's, like, magically blocked from falling in love with him via their curses not interacting. So she dresses up like a man so she doesn't have to deal with him saying, you're hot, the whole time.
Which he basically does anyway.
Oh, yeah. He's totally like, bro, I have a bro crush on you, bro. This is so weird, bro.
Bro crush, bro. Oh, my God. Bro, I super want your bro dick. And you're like, bro. Oh.
You know, that would be the best bro. Ending if it turns out he was gay the whole time and he finds true gay love. Like, yeah.
Yeah, fucking get the gays up in here. It's 2018.
It's time.
Sup, gays.
We got the movie for you. Yeah, when are the gays going to get their own mediocre animated movie? That's what we're all waiting for in terms of equality, right, guys and ladies and anyone of gender?
What about people who don't identify as any given gender, Mel?
Also true. Where's our NB Love movie?
Yeah,
I'm not even kidding. Where the fuck is it?
Seriously, why can't everybody just have bullshit mediocre films?
That's all I want.
Everyone deserves this. Everyone deserves suffering.
Everyone deserves a low-budget representation of themselves that comes to the $5 bin at the grocery store.
Like, this fucking even made it into the $5 bin.
It's true, it didn't.
Yeah. At this point, I just had no idea what the fuck was happening. There was something more to this movie that I feel like kept trying to come out, but they needed $7 more to make it look okay, or make it okay, and they just couldn't. They just didn't have those $7 more.
No. Okay, so all of the girls, all of the fiancés do a scream that's like the world's weakest scream. Like, let me try and scream right now without alerting my cat or my roommates. And it's like, ah, like that was the best they could do in the professional recording studio. And then when all of their guardians appear, apparently John Cleese is voicing the fairy godmother. Yeah, and he sounds like he's on a fucking bender.
Yeah, how did you not immediately identify the voice of John Cleese? I am because offended.
His voice acting was non-existent.
He just needs to make a paycheck so that he can support his cats and his chickens. And pay the mortgage on his Santa Barbara property.
Fair.
These mouth flaps also, in this scene, were especially terrible. And unfortunately, I thought the fairy godmother's model and lip sync were the best.
I mean, that's fair. Just like, goddamn, the voice is so terrible. Are you guys ready for 80% of the movie in one paragraph?
Hell yeah.
Charming and Lenore travel through many obstacles towards Fire Mountain. First, they are attacked by a tribe of giant women known as the Matiliha? The giant women.
I would say Mataliha.
Mataliha. I like that. Sounds good. But Charming's charm saves the day, preventing them from being eaten. While Charming is getting anointed by nearly all the Mataliha, Lenore is taken in by the half-oracle, who informs her that Charming might be her one true love. After obtaining the chief's hairpin, a fucking knife, Charming manages to cut Lenore free from her chains. After escaping and returning a ruby heart to a toad monster, she stole it first, y'all. Lenore starts to develop feelings for Charming and sets up a date at the Dainty Dish, a local eatery. However, Nemini finds out about this and casts a curse that draws all the women in the area inexplicably towards Charming, as though that weren't already his curse. Lenore is heartbroken at seeing Charming surrounded by other women, as though that was his curse that she already knew about. God, this movie!
Yeah, so please note that that was a single paragraph of text, and that was the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. We have to describe the ending scene, which takes as long of a paragraph, so, you know.
Right, but we also have to complain about everything that was just in the prior paragraph.
Such as the Lenny outfit being literally nothing. She just does a voice. Or she doesn't even do a voice. No, she
doesn't
nothing.
Even do a voice. She steals somebody's mustache, but, like, the mustache and the titties are a great combo. Like, she doesn't even try beautiful. To hide the titties. But I honestly wish that I had a sick mustache and titties like that.
Prince Charming sucks.
I get that he's the spoiled rich prince character, and he's just lame. He's just lame. I forgot to include this screen cap for you, but I'm going to upload it now and put it into this document because I started complaining about the sword. There's a scene. There you go. That's for you. The lighting on the sword in the campfire scene where Lenny and Charming are just hanging out being guys being dudes. The lighting is such utter bullshit. Nothing is casting a contact shadow. Like, and that is including the character. Like, if you look at this picture I have just sent you, look at Lenore's foot. It is casting a firelight shadow, but there is no contact shadow, and the lighting is so inappropriate for the scene.
Yep.
It is terrible. The lighting in this movie is doing the movie no fucking favors.
Yeah, it's... Yes. And then on top of that, the mouth flapping on Charming just doesn't add up to anything. It doesn't match.
And that's just due to the... I don't even want to say the shittiness of the animators because I think they're doing their best. But the voice work happens before, like, anything else happens. And this is the only thing I can think that had happened here is they had the temp voices. So you have the scratch voices. So you have the performance. And you kind of animate to that performance because sometimes you can't get your celebrity voice actors, or sometimes there's conflicts, or sometimes you just need, you know, to start a scene and there's no dialogue for it yet. So you have your own temp track and you act to that. And I think what may have happened, now that I'm putting my brain power into this and I'm not watching it at 9:50 p.m., they probably did the performance to the temp track and then at the last minute got the celebrity voice actors.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, is that, like, he doesn't bother to match anything. And you can tell that they recorded a different voice track and then brought in Wilmer Valderrama at the last minute because his acting is just, like, not in line at all with the mouth flaps, whereas you can see other people trying.
Yeah.
Maybe they had a different lead.
They didn't seem to have any, in the credits, they didn't seem to have any distinction of characters, like who was responsible for what. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But all of this was bad. Everything was bad. This whole movie was kind of gross.
What else did they do?
It's just lesser Shrek.
It is. It's lesser Shrek. I guess the female empowerment of it is kind of nice. And it's just, it's so slow because it's obvious how the plot's going to go from the minute you find out she can't love. You're like, yeah, okay. Let's just get on with it, folks.
I started going off on the reins on the horse because the reins don't deform. There's no fucking slack in them. They're just a solid object. And so when the horse, like, turns its head, the stupid fucking reins just, like, crumple, but they're still fully straight.
Yeah. Immediately after, I'm like, oh, this cloud scene actually looks nice.
And you want to know why that is? It's why a matte painting. Yeah. It's just a texture that they comped the characters over. That's why the clouds do not move at all and are the exact same from scene to scene. Holy shit, it's actually a matte painting.
I went and looked, and you're right. What the fuck?
Yeah, of course I'm right. I know you're right. My eye was immediately drawn to that. I was like, this isn't animated. And then I, like, paused the movie to go, this is a fucking matte painting. And then I couldn't unsee it. Even with all the camera angles that they do, there's, like, a couple shots in this cloud sequence where they have some moving camera, and they have some still camera, too. But the clouds are not adapting to that. They're not changing in the camera. They're like, it's so bad.
Okay, real talk. I feel like this section of the movie is just Lenore slowly succumbing to the curse.
Yeah, because Stockholm Syndrome is real.
Also, Nemini Neverwish, you fucked yourself on this one, creating a everyone loves him and a no one and one that can't love anyone in the same age bracket. Why'd you fucking do that? You fucked yourself.
She's it's all the character flaws from Eris from Sinbad and the other mother from Coraline, which she is a combination of.
Oh, yeah. Also, when they go to the giant women section, there's a DJ doing a set for their party. And it, I guess it's charming. It's very confusing.
So basically what I think happened was Steve Aoki just needed a gig, but I don't understand why they had the character model look like Jesus.
He really did.
Jesus is your DJ.
That was confounding. I did like the half oracle. I thought it was a funny and interesting character in this movie that is just stock and kind of garbage.
Yeah,
she's blind in one eye, so she's a half oracle.
She was definitely doing her best, and honestly, she was great. The half oracle was great. The design was great. The leader of the giants was great. And I loved that Lenny was just hanging out in the cooking pot. Like, she's shackled there, but they make a joke about, like, marinating overnight. And, like, she's just in the cooking pot, just hanging out.
Yeah.
And I just, my only complaint here was that I was not a fan of the song choice. And this is where it comes in. This sequence, you could drop it into a James Bond movie as the opening, and it wouldn't look out of place.
100%.
The style of the music did not match. The animation didn't match the rest of the film, which sometimes that's fine. Like in, we're going back to DreamWorks, in Road to El Dorado.
Yes.
They do have some of those sequences where it's not the same animation, but it still fits within the movie. And they did not do that here. This was just like, hey, we need to also kind of do spec work for this new James Bond opening. Can you guys get on that? And it just didn't seem like the correct placement for that kind of song either.
No, it was too middle of the movie.
It's not that it was middle of the movie, though. It was like, this should be like the sad ending song before they get back together.
Oh, I vibe with that. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, because it was so slow and so lyrical and so, it was more melancholy than anything.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that.
But I was totally here for the weird animation.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to actually ask a hard question. Are these designs of like Amazon women that kind of use vague African tribal signaling, is this racist?
I am not sure, because it is a fictional universe, and the designs were consistent across the characters.
Yeah, you know? I just like,
so it was a choice. It was a choice that I didn't necessarily agree with, but it was a consistent choice.
Yeah, I can flex with that.
Also, Tara Strong appears to be the other half of the half oracle.
Yeah, I guess
it sounded who like knows. Her, and I was like, "Was Tara fucking Strong,
dude?" If you've got $10 and she waltzes through the studio, Tara Strong will give you 10 minutes of her time. Not saying Tara Strong is cheap, saying she's such an efficient voice actress that it would benefit her.
Oh, she was probably one and done. They probably paid her like $100 to show up and do it.
Tara Strong, she only had like fucking three professional. Lines.
No, she really fucking is.
God, I love her.
We stan Tara Strong.
We stan you, Tara Strong.
There were also titty physics on
there were the titty physics
giantess, and that fucking mustache, Lenny's mustache, really fucking sticks.
Yeah, it does.
Like, holy shit. I want a mustache that sticks that well.
Same. So there's a knocking over the camera joke during the...
Oh, Snow White.
Yeah, it's Snow White's bit.
Is it Snow White? Yeah, it's Snow White. She's the one she doesn't want her back to the window. Right.
Yeah, and it was just weirdly out of place in a movie that hadn't implied the camera before, and then was like, haha, what if she knocked over the imaginary camera that isn't here?
Yeah, we're not... I was waiting. I saw that and was so excited for that joke because I was really hoping, like, I knew where I wanted it to go, and then it just didn't happen, and I was just underwhelmed when it did occur. And I also call out that Nemini looks like Eris from Sinbad and that this movie is just ripping off as many DreamWorks films as it can.
Hey, it's true, though, except for one good element.
The tropes are, well, no, it's pretty Sinbad here, but continue.
I liked the rock monster. I thought it was well designed.
Mm-hmm.
It looked good.
It looked very much like a Harryhausen stop motion creature, and the textures were solid because they mixed in with everything else, and the scene was actually lit appropriately. And the only complaint I had, once again, I couldn't figure out why the characters weren't blending in well with the background, and then realized that it was another matte painting.
Ah, jeez.
I think that the backgrounds for many, many of the action scenes with, like, minimal environments were matte paintings to save on time and money. I cannot confirm this because I did not work directly on this film, but to my eye, they appear to be just painted backgrounds.
I wish I could confirm with you, but I was too busy retching from these shitty fucking songs.
Demi Lovato just did not belong in this movie musically, and I am sorry. Like I said, I'm sure she's a fantastic person. I don't hate her voice work. Like, it's not something that I would have chosen for this movie, but I didn't hate her more than anybody else as a voice actor in this. But the music just did not fit. And this did not have subtitles. And every time one of her songs came on, I desperately wished that I had access to subtitles.
Oh, yeah. I had a really hard time understanding her. I mean, I got the vibe that she's falling in love, but I just didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, I actually had to look up the lyrics. First of all, I had to go to IMDb and then look up the titles of the songs. And then I had to look up the lyrics for the songs, which may or may not be easy to find, depending on how dedicated you were.
Hmm.
But I... What?
Were you Sounds that like dedicated? Somebody really likes this movie.
Sounds like somebody was fucking desperate to understand what was being heard.
That's fair.
Yeah, I just super wanted to understand what was happening. Like, I want, like, the... When you have a movie like this, this is just me being very... I don't even want to say picky. It's just a story choice. When you have a movie that is relying on music to tell part of your fucking story, you better make absolutely fucking sure that your song can be understood.
Yeah.
Like, this, and this movie relies on it. They're like, yep, we're gonna use these songs to tell a story. And the only song that you can hear word for fucking word is the Patrick Stump opening song.
The man knows how to write a clear song.
It's not the clear song, though. It's the performance of the song. I have to sneeze because I'm allergic to this. Sorry, I'm just allergic to bullshit.
Got him.
Yeah, I did appreciate, though, that Charming did seem to have some character development. He actually seemed to be changing as a person. We do have a whole sequence where Lenny is thinking out loud, which is stupid and bullshit, because it's exactly when Shrek is walking back to the house where they're staying for the night before they go to Duloc. And Shrek is talking to himself about thinking about Fiona. And then there's a bullshit flashback sequence. And the dress just did not look good at all.
No. She buys a special dress to show up for Charming, and it looks terrible on her. She should have just worn her regular adventuring gear.
Yeah, just take off the goddamn mustache. Let your hair down. Actually, don't let your hair down, because I don't think your model allows for it.
Also, please leave the mustache on.
Hold on.
Also, why did she meet Prince cool. Charming in public? She knows that every woman that's ever existed is attracted to him. Does she not understand his curse?
I think she understood the curse, but I think she was also just wanting to have him prove it, I guess? Not prove his curse, but prove his love for her. Because to be fair, when Charming first bumps into Lenore in the marketplace and they're dancing, he stops. He doesn't want the attention of these other women after he meets her. Like, he uses his curse to get them out of situations, but he is not actively trying to attract these other women having met Lenore. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. She should have known better. And also,
yes.
Nemini didn't have to do anything. That was gonna happen regardless.
No, Nemini. The fucking bullshit particle effects. None of the lighting was good. And she's just like, oh, ho, ho, I am evil. Like, we know exactly what's gonna happen. We didn't even need the character of Nemini fucking Neverwish in here. It didn't do anything. It didn't help. This is also exactly where I stopped paying attention, and my laptop battery was low, so I took a break. My last note for that was, they literally have Shrek music.
Yeah.
In the background of this scene, and that I had 30 more minutes left in this movie.
And yet, these 30 minutes passed by so quickly. I watched this all in one night, and it was just, I just sat and did it. I know, I'm very brave. So, Lenore, heartbroken, just decides to dump this man's ass at Fire Mountain so she can get her 3 carts worth of gold and bounce.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's what you gotta do. Prince Charming is confused by Lenny's cold demeanor after his trip to the dainty dish, at which point Lenore tells Charming the truth about her disguise. Although she felt that she had betrayed him, Charming tells her he still loves her, but she refuses to listen to him telling her that he loves her. Prince Charming reveals that not only does he not really love his many fiancés, rude, but he is sentenced to execution. Well, he sentences himself to die. He very specifically says, like, yo, I'm going to ruin all the love in the land tomorrow. I'm going to kill myself so that way everyone else can be happy. And I respect that.
Yeah, because he and Lenore never kissed. So true love's kiss hasn't broken the curse or anything. So he is just like, I met the love of my life, but she doesn't feel the same way about me. And I'm not going to ruin the lives of an entire kingdom, so I'm just gonna off myself.
Which is so good. Like, good choice.
Yeah.
As he's about to be hanged, he speaks to self-sacrifice, and Lenore comes in and saves him. But then Nemini comes and casts the evil curse. And in an attempt to save Lenore from one of Nemini's attacks, Prince Charming sacrifices himself. As he lays dying, Lenore recalls true love's kiss and kisses him, restoring Prince Charming and all the love in the kingdom. The spell is removed and Nemini is defeated. Prince Charming and Lenore get married in the end and prepare themselves for their happy beginning.
She's immediately pregnant.
Oh my god, yeah, she's like just all the way pregnant. She looked at him and was pregnant.
Yeah, no, they made that reference, like, at the very end of the movie, and you're like, please God, don't have a sequel.
This ending part is fucking terrible, especially the part where Lenore just distinctly doesn't listen to Prince Charming be like, I don't love my fiancés, I love you.
Yeah, I picked this movie back up 2 whole days later, but I needed it to buffer again, so I started watching Jenna Marbles.
Jenna Marbles, we're taking a fucking detour this week to talk about how much we stand Jenna Marbles, a 32-year-old lady.
Yeah, she puts on the prosthetics, and I was screaming when she added the glitter eyeshadow.
Oh, also, so good.
Everybody needs them a Julian.
Do we?
Yeah, because, like, seriously, though. Well, okay, you don't need an Aries, but you need a Julian.
Okay, that's fair, because I don't need a Julian in my life.
No, you don't need an Aries, but you do need a Julian. Because, like, even when she had covered herself in the prosthetics and the shitty makeup and the wig and the eyeshadow, his response was that she still looked hot.
Julian, like, does love very truly. I do. I love Julian. I just can't stand him.
He's a lot to handle. It took me a little bit to get used to Julian, if that makes sense.
Julian, also, I was
laughing so hard at that video that I gave myself an asthma attack and had to use my inhaler.
That's beautiful. You're beautiful. I love you.
I'm never going to be as beautiful as Jenna Marbles.
No one will be. That's really the saddest fact.
Someday I'll be a 32-year-old lady.
Also, if I had to pick a fiancé from all the fiancés, I'd pick Snow White. You could just get her a bodyguard.
I think Snow White would be a decent choice, but I would pick Sleeping Beauty because she's always asleep. And you don't have to deal with her.
That's fair. Also, again, I thought it was really noble that Prince Charming was like, I'm gonna kill myself and I'm gonna write a letter to every bitch in this kingdom saying, hey, go find real love. It's okay that I'm dead. That was a real one move.
Death is the only escape. I didn't realize that that is what he was doing until I had read your comment. And I appreciated the detail of that scene where he has the candle and then he has the sealing wax. Because when you use wax like that, candle wax just does not work. You have to use a special kind of sealing wax, which he does.
Yeah.
Somebody took a second and was just like, we need sealing wax in this movie. And when Illy, first of all, why is the bird with Charming still? It's Lenny's bird.
I don't know.
So the Cardinal is hanging out with Prince Charming for whatever reason. And Charming has a conversation with his dad, and his dad is just like, do you have to do this, son? And he's just like, yes, Papa, I must. And Illy brings Lenore, who is seated among her riches, which is fantastic.
Oh, it is.
A letter to one of the many women. And she's reading this letter and she's like, dear Victoria, wait, what? And the bird's like, no, keep reading. And she's just like, but I have found my one true love. And she's like, oh, that's me. Wait, it is me, right? And the bird is just like, of course it's fucking you. I was like, okay, I appreciate that. Like, that I understood.
I liked that his dad was like, son, you don't have to die. And I was like, in the beginning scene of this movie, you were talking about what an asshole your child was. I guess you figured out that he wasn't an asshole 3 days before he was gonna die.
Well, it's probably because he, like, did a full personality 180. Because we started the movie and he was just kind of like a self, he was just like an entitled bitch. Brat.
Yeah.
And then he comes back from the gauntlet and he's just like, I have changed as a person and I realized that everything I was doing was wrong and that the only way to save this kingdom is to kill myself.
Yeah. Also, he's gonna get hung, which is so somber. Like, they have the noose ready and everything.
Oh my god, yeah, we see this. Like, this took a fucking turn. Because we knew how the movie was gonna end. Like, we knew that Lenore and Charming were gonna end up together. But holy fucking shit, like, Charming gets his head put in the noose. They have a scene where he gets to contemplate his fucking death. And we're like, yeah. What?
It's a lot, and the executioner is very good at his job, which is even more uncomfortable.
Well, once again, it is John Cleese because he needed a paycheck. But I don't think this needed to be a public execution.
Maybe it's because he was royalty, so, like, they had to show off that he failed?
I don't think they needed to show off that he failed, though.
I don't know.
Like, having him not Like, if he had given the speech that he gave and then was, like, taken away to be hung, that would have been fine. But, like, no, this is a public execution. To me, that seemed a little bit excessive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And John Cleese, he's just like, okay, well, we're going to do this on three. One, two, two and a half. And and Charming is like, what are you fucking doing? Like, where is three? And he's like, well, if someone were to save you in an impressive act of heroism, here is where they would do it. And I was like, can we just fucking not be this self-aware right now? Like, where was that the rest of the movie?
Right? But yeah. And then on top of it, that they do the tropey thing of having him die anyway by having him take the bullet for Lenore. Great.
Yeah, and I was like, this is Sinbad. This is literally the movie Sinbad. And fuck this bullshit lip sync. It was just so terrible. Oh, and Lenore is just firing arrows off into the fucking crowd, and nobody dies.
All those people were disposable anyway.
It's fair. They were just peasants.
I was, like, distinctly hoping they weren't gonna do the quickie wedding, since it wasn't, like, a necessary thing anymore, and that would show another good factor of true love. No, they get married immediately.
Well, it's because they have to fuck.
Yeah, that's how it goes. And, literally all of the costumes look bad, but especially the wedding dress.
Yeah, it's not great. The only costumes that really looked decent were the giant characters, the Matiliha characters, and the king and Charming. And the fairy godmother.
That's about it. And they started showing fucking previs art and 2D art leading up to and into the credits. Shocker, this would have looked so much better in 2D.
This would have looked fine as anything other than what it was, which is a low-budget 3D animated movie.
Also, can we pause for a second to talk about how Lenore is a really ugly character at, like, half of the angles?
She is not a well-designed character. I won't say that her design is not appealing. Because it, from certain angles, it is. Like, if you're looking at Lenore straight on or at, like, a three-quarter or, like, a half angle, I guess, she's fine. But, like, if it's a non-standard angle, Lenore does not look appealing at all.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
It really fucking is. But, like, yeah, they end the movie with this 2D art over the credits, and it's gorgeous, and it made me angry.
Yeah, and I love VizDev art. I love concept art. It always looks so, 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 so good. And it kind of hurts me a little bit, because you can tell that this movie, like, had decent concept work, and then they just couldn't afford to realize it, is what I assume happened. Because this could have been so much better.
Yeah. That's fair.
They had four render wranglers on this movie.
Oh, no. The poor babies.
Oh, no. They were fine. Four for a movie like this? Totally doable.
Overall, I would not recommend watching this movie.
If you don't like ogres, but still want to watch Shrek, watch Charming. However, you can't find it anywhere unless you really, really, really want to watch it, because it has not come out in the United States of America yet.
Don't ask us how we watched it. I'm not sure if
it will, actually.
I don't think it's going to.
Because it's done South America and it's done Europe. But it hasn't done any, like, any English-speaking countries. Like, it hasn't done the UK, it hasn't done the US, it hasn't done Australia, it hasn't done any Asian countries either.
If I had to guess, they might just be holding out for a global Netflix rollout. Like, they're just going to do it all at once on Netflix, so they waited for the theatrical debut.
Or another streaming service. Well, it's been a year since it came out. It's been over a year.
then who knows?
I don't know. I don't know.
Exactly. But yeah, not my recommendation.
No, it's definitely not compelling enough to warrant a watch. Like, it's not even bad good. It's just so bland.
It's like unflavored oatmeal.
I think it's worse than unflavored oatmeal. I think it's just like drinking room temperature water.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Yeah, this movie is like drinking room temperature water.
Fair.
Yeah. Solid. Sorry.
This week, our podcast was brought to you by our deep-seated, burning hatred of most, if not all, things, but specifically our frustration with the way the world is. If you're mad at the way the world is, you're probably on our side as well. The world is a terrible place right now. We're just trying our fucking best to make a funny podcast. But you know who helped us through those dark, dark times? Emily, do you know who's helping us through those dark, dark times?
Alcohol.
Alcohol, but also the four people that reviewed us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. What up?
Oh, shit. Airborne yeah, sounds. That too.
Yeah, those people are the only bright spot in my world right now, and I love them.
Yeah, they were pretty great.
Yeah, so they brought this podcast to you by giving me good feelings when I needed them. Thank you, thank the you, people friends. That reviewed us on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to review us on Apple Podcasts, go ahead. I don't know if it helps or not, but I sure do like seeing that number go up.
So one of my friends that does listen to this, and I was actually kind of shocked by it, she's like, but I listen on Spotify. I was like, I don't care. Review it if you want. Or just keep listening. I don't care.
Can you review our podcast on Spotify?
I don't know.
Hey, review us on Spotify if you listen on Spotify.
Liv, review our podcast on Spotify.
Yeah, do it.
This episode will come out in about 10 fucking weeks.
Yeah, but she's going to feel so special when it does.
Shout out to Liv. I love you.
Yeah. Shout out. All right. But yeah, so the world sucks, but the fact that you actually listen to this podcast does not. So keep that in mind, that you make two people happy a week. It's us.
Yay.
We will bring you a new movie next week, along with our terrible opinions on them. But that's our show for this week. I'm Melanie.
And in this weird, weird parallel universe, I continue to maybe be Emily.
We'll see you next time. Bye.